What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome in to another episode of the Triple Play Fantasy Baseball Show. A proud member of Underdog and the Underdog Fantasy family. And if you use promo code TRIPLE over at Underdog Fantasy right now, they will match your deposit up to $100. Very, 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 very much a good deal if you use that code. Because again, if you put $100 in, you get $100 back. And it's right now, it is the fantasy baseball draft season. So you can get a ton of best balls over there, best ball drafts going. Again, promo code TRIPLE will get you everything you need. Welcome back to another episode tonight. We've got our starting pitcher preview part two. VMendy joined by Marty Party and Lil Cheesecake. Lil Cheesecake, what's going on, man?
Bum, Doc couldn't make it. We saw him just a few moments ago to say hello before we were on. He's under the weather. I was trying to convince him to push on through, but you know, he got too sick. He had too good a time in North Carolina, apparently, so he couldn't stay on.
He was cheering on those Tar Heels at the college basketball game, but it looked like a good time. He was eating well, having a good time, and we definitely miss him here
tonight.
Too
good, apparently. Too good.
That's right.
Got him sick.
Yeah, yeah. Marty Party, what about you, man? What's new?
Hey, I'm doing great. Fantasy baseball season is rapidly approaching. I guess the season's already here, but the actual, and then the baseball season's coming here in the next few weeks. And we just booked, I'm going to be going to Italy here in October. We just bought tickets today.
Bombshell drop. What?
Yeah, man. I'm super excited. We'll be going to obviously Rome, Tuscany, Venice, Bologna. I think that's how you say it. Bologna, maybe. Yeah.
Bologna.
So yeah, I'm dude.
Yeah.
We got a lot of great stuff going on over
Congratulations.
Here.
Congratulations.
But I got to win some of these leagues. So I got some, you know, spending cash.
Motivation there.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh man. Well, hopefully we can equal the time you're going to have in Italy by talking about starting pitchers tonight, which is, again, as good of a time as you're going to have in fantasy baseball. Doc beautifully hosted last week covering part one. So basically covering the top 30 pitchers roughly in ADP. So we're going to go pretty much 31 to 75 in that range, roughly according to NFBC over the last 2 weeks. There's been over, I think, 60, 70 drafts over that time. So it's been, there's been 112 drafts over that time. So we have a lot of data to go from here. And without further ado, why don't we dive in? And the first pitcher I want to talk about tonight is the pitcher that LC has the most of any player, and the player that I am trying to get the most of. I have not been able to in every draft, but I think he is going to have the biggest breakout season of any pitcher in the American League. And that's Tanner Bibee, Lil Cheesecake.
I really want to hear why you like him as a breakout. I love Bibee as sort of a, I think he's shown a pretty good floor already in his short career. I think he has a good arsenal that he uses well. And I think that what he did over 142 innings last season, he did have a expected batting average against a 235, which is very good. I think he's going to continue doing that next season and just add innings onto that. I like him because Cleveland's a good pitching producing team. He's came up and showed that durability of arm. I think he's going to get over 170 innings. I got him on four out of my five teams already.
He's good, man. I mean, I don't care how you slice it. Having a sub three ERA in your rookie season, that's great. I know that the ERA metrics have a little bit higher than that if you look across the board, but they're not astronomical. They're all still mid threes. I know I've talked with Nick Pollock about Tanner Bibee before. His biggest concern is his fastball, and his fastball is not overpowering. It lacks the movement. It lacks a lot of things in the profile you want from an elite fastball. Got hit decently hard last year compared to the rest of his offerings, but he is elite pretty much in everywhere else you want. I mean, whether he's, you know, average or elite, 12.4 swinging strike rate. That's solid. 28.8% CSW, just right about average there. But we're looking at a team in the American League, the Cleveland Guardians, who are playing in the worst division in the American League, with a team like the Royals, who may be better, but still might not be the best team. Chicago White Sox. My dog's getting something. Keep talking about Tanner Bibee.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to point out, you mentioned his fastball, and that is something that has been brought up before, that his fastball, it really is as effective as it is because he throws it 95, and he's one of these pitchers that is going to be affected by losing a mile or two, a tick or two off that fastball speed. But he hasn't lost that speed on the fastball yet. Came out throwing hard this spring. So I think, you know, he's going to be able to get by on the fastball. He uses it pretty often, 47% mm-hmm. pitch. But it's meant to have his other pitchers play off of it, that really effective slider. And of course, curveball, the breaking pitches that he throws so well, and the changeup, I mean. So, you know, the four seam, he's got the speed still on it, throwing 95 on average. As long as he keeps it up, I think the other stuff's going to play off it really well. And he's still young enough. I'm not worried about mm-hmm. this dropping on that four seam.
He was fourth, or I believe, no, second. He was in the top three in American League Rookie of the Year voting last year. And an ERA, xERA 340, WHIP of 118, below the major league average in a good way there. And I'm curious, Elsie, we talked about how, again, his fastball was considered the weakness in his game and he threw it the most. What were it to happen if he were to lower the usage of his fastball and up the usage of his slider, which was elite last season, and increase the use of his breaking pitches? I think there could be another gear unlocked there with him. And maybe his fastball does develop and become a little bit better than it was in his rookie season. But he was also one of those rookies that it wasn't like he came in the last month or two of the season. He was with the Guardians pretty much since the beginning of the year because of the injury to Tristan McKenzie, because Shane Bieber went down. They had to plug him in early, and he delivered.
Mm-hmm. 142 innings last season on top of how many minor – let me get his minor league innings.
I think it ended up being about close to 180, right about there.
Yeah. So, like, the durability is there. He stepped up when he was needed. The one thing that you're not going to get from Bibee is those, like, elite strikeout rates, the 10K per nine type. He'll average mm-hmm. about a strikeout per inning, but that's paired with really good control, the low walk rate, and good ratios. Like you said, his xERA last year, his ERA, he did get a little bit of ERA luck, under three ERA with an xERA a little bit in the mid threes. But even if he pulls back to a mid three with the more innings, 175, 180 innings, producing 170 or so strikeouts and a WHIP under 1.2, that's a really good value there around mm-hmm. 100. What is he about? 117. He's actually falling a little bit from where he was. He was around 109, 110. I think he's going mm-hmm. around 120 right now. So
yeah, he's 119.
Yeah, so I don't think he should be falling. I think he's a really good value where he's going, and I've been picking him up as sort of a stabilizer on my pitching staffs.
Yeah, I love Tanner Bibee. I think at the end of the day here, Tanner Bibee is going to be one of the guys that us as a podcast have the most of this year. I think we can't get enough Tanner Bibee, and I think he's a great value, as you said, LC. But Marty, going from Tanner Bibee, who my breakout, Elsie's most owned pitcher, to a pitcher here that you have, Hunter Green, I feel like someone we should talk about because he has the talent stuff to potentially be one of the best strikeout pitchers in baseball. But the consistency, the ballpark, there are a lot of things going against him. So I'm curious for you to kind of talk about why we should draft Hunter Green, because I think I've seen more people talking about fading him than drafting him this year.
Yeah, so for Hunter Green, the most important thing for me is he's going to be my SP3, potentially my SP4. And so what that means, I have a great foundation of ERA and WHIP, and now I'm looking for strikeout upside. We touched on his stuff as a 119. I mean, some of the best stuff there is in all of baseball. His location is good, strong pitching plus, but you touched on it. A lot of fly balls, and he walks too many people. So I'm betting on the upside here because of his stuff. He's 24 years old. He already is one of the best strikeout pitchers in baseball. 2 years in a row of north of a 30 strikeout percentage. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. When you go to look at a Statcast, expecting batting average overall is .216. So a lot plays into them, the Reds having a bad defensive team, which they've had over the last few years. Hopefully, as the kids grow up, it's going to be a little bit better. And that ballpark is absolutely brutal. So I am definitely recognizing this is what we call an upside play. there is, it's a possibility he has a couple weeks that, you know, you, where you want to pull your hair out and he's hovering maybe a five ERA. That, I think that's baked into the price, because if he's, what if he becomes more consistent and he's able to get that, you know, fly ball rate down, I mean, he's a top 30 pitcher, you know, with that little strikeouts and everything. So I can't back away from the fact that, yeah, there's, it's a risky play, but because of the fact that as long as you make him your third or your fourth starting pitcher in a 15 team roto 5x5, that's where I like him. If he's your SP2, I don't like that so much.
So my question to you, Marty, I feel like the biggest thing with Hunter Green, you take the ballpark factors and the defense out of it, is are you confident that he can change the shape, or he can change some movement on his fastball to make it a pitch that people aren't driving out of the ballpark? Because he relies a lot on velocity. Obviously, he can touch 100, but you hear many people talk about that it's a straight line fastball, which is a big no-no for someone that can throw that hard. Do you have concerns about that? Do you think that's something that could change this season for him?
I'm concerned. That's why I think it's more of an upside play than, you know, if you want someone with a clean, strong floor, I wouldn't look this way. I'm finding myself at this part of the draft searching for that upside. So yeah, I am concerned. I'm not worried about the fastball. It's that he hasn't learned how to pitch yet. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing, is him being able to locate that fastball, to be able to raise it up and then nip on the corners, which a lot of times that ball just ends up right over the plate. So as a 20, he was 22 years old and 23 years old. Now he's going into his third season. He's only 24. I'm betting on the upside, but I cannot get away from the fact that, yeah, it's, it could go south, but last year he had a 3.82 xERA and a 30.5 K percentage.
So, I have in that range, there's a couple other upside plays.
Yep.
And injuries in like Sale and Rodon, and you go Green over those guys. And what's your reason for that?
I would, at this point, if Chris Sale, every time I got Hunter Green, Chris Sale was not Chris Sailing.
Okay.
Right. So if Chris Sale was in that same spot and I had to pick one or two, at this point, I would go Chris Sale.
Okay.
Which is fair, because Chris Sale does go 10 picks ahead of him right 10 now. 10 picks,
and it's a 10-year, you know, 10 years of brilliance and a couple years of injury, and he looks excellent. But a few weeks ago, and I brought this up in the GLARF chat, and I think we've already talked about it before on the show, but I said Hunter Green or Carlos Rodon, and almost everyone went Rodon. And now at this point, we're seeing Rodon almost fall apart. I haven't seen an outing for Green yet, so I can't say either way. But I think Chris Sale would be someone I would go for over him at this point. I think that's really
good. Now, I'm curious, because Chris Sale, again, had a higher ADP. How about two pitchers going lower than him in ADP, and Michael King and Bailey Ogre? Rank those three.
For upside, I would go Green, King, Ogre. I think Ogre has the highest floor. With Michael King, we got to be worried about his health and the fact that he's never done a full year of being a starting pitcher. The stuff's there. It looks great. He transitioned from a reliever to a starter last year, and it actually worked. And that's so rare. That actually almost never happens. Usually it's the other way, where a starting pitcher becomes a relief pitcher and it works out. I think Bailey has the highest floor. I think Green has the highest upside. So if I needed floor there, I'm going over. Michael King, I have to see him in a full year as a starter. I love the stuff though. And I wouldn't mind having him on a team, but I don't have him.
Michael King, man, CSW 33.8%, PLV, which is one of the new pitcherless pitching metrics, of 5.16, which is the 51st ranked pitcher in baseball for that. 28.4% K rate, 3.08 ERA on the season. We saw a game against Toronto at the end of the year. We had 13 strikeouts. If I told you Michael King pitched, because last year he pitched 104 innings. If I told you Michael King will pitch 130 innings this year, will he outperform his ADP?
How many innings? 130?
130.
I would take it. I think that'd be fine. If, you know, around a 3.7 ERA and good amount of strikeouts, 130? 130 is like the new 150. So
yeah,
at this point, I would take it. I would take it there. Yeah.
Because
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, just across the board, XFIP 339, a FIP of 313, expected ERA of 348, the K rate again near 30%, walk rate very manageable, 7.4%, home runs per 9.8, and with a 307 BABIP, mind you, as well. Just everything across the board says that this guy's the real deal.
And he's pitching in San Diego now.
Mm-hmm.
He's in San Diego. I'm a little concerned of, like, I think it was 2022 where he had that elbow injury.
I am worried about his durability for sure.
Yeah. So that's, I think Zimmerman gave him Jeff Zimmerman gave him a health grade of F, which I think is fair. F for fair.
No, I don't think so.
That's good.
But yeah, if he's in that range, I would take one shot. If I have 10 teams, like I've said a million times, if I have 10 teams, I want him on one or two, but I'm not going out to get him. I need to see it once.
I got Rodon pitched today, gave up 5 hits, 2 home runs. Didn't look like he was commanding well. This is Frank Stampfl's tweet. Sitting 92, 93 on the fastball, but not commanding it well. Early in the spring, hard to say, but not looking sharp just yet. Just a Rodon update that I saw.
He did have, I think, he got to 97 in a bullpen last week.
Yeah, but he's touched that last correctly. Yeah, but he did that last year. I mean, he's just touching it. And, so he did that once. And we need 6 innings from him. I don't care that he touched 97 once.
I'm buying the bounce back from Rodon because I feel like he's going to be healthier this year. And it sounds like the velocity's back. But this start today didn't do any favors for making me feel that way. I and TGFBI, mind you, I'm in the slowest draft. So I still have about half my team to go. But I decided to go really, really, really good hitting. And I went high risk, high reward pitching. So I got Luis Castillo as my ace, but I have Cole Reagans, Michael King, and Carlos Rodon as my top 4.
Wow.
So, top three is pretty solid. I mean,
it was just where I was at in the draft that pitching went pretty fast. So, I just stacked hitting, and my hitting is I could put it up there as some of the best I feel like. But I've decided, I'm like, look, I'm just pitching. I'm going to go for high strikeout arms, and hopefully, Rodon bounces back. King stays healthy. Cole Reagans looks like the real deal as long as he doesn't get hurt. But that's what I've Mason Miller is my top relief pitcher, and Brian Wu is my fifth starter. So I think I have 6 pitchers right now. But just going back to Rodon, I do believe that I think what we saw today is I don't think that's going to be the case during the regular season. I think, is he going to be the Giants Rodon? Probably not. Could he be like a high threes, 9K or 10K per 9 guy? I think that's still potential for that in there. I also was going to bring up Bailey Ober, who Lance Brodowski on Twitter, who's one of the better pitching guys to break down stuff right now. He has a new cutter, Bailey Ober. His velocity was up and he's made some mechanical changes and he was overpowering hitters in his first spring training start. Again, granted it's spring training, 3 innings, 7 strikeouts, 1 hit. 11 whiffs. Are we buying Bailey Ober?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I like Ober a lot. I like his low walk rate. His ERA and XERA were really close last season, produced an XBA of 226. I think that he does a lot of good work with his height and getting a lot of extension on that fastball, allowing it to come in a little bit slower, but still be, an effective pitch. I really like Ober this year. I think he's going to be given a chance to sort of, because I felt like they held him back a little bit in Minnesota last year. I think they're not going to hold him back that much. I'm high on Ober this year, but he's getting taken out from under me in all the drafts. So that's a little frustrating. Yeah.
His ADP is climbing. That's for sure. He's one of these risers over the last, especially after the spring training start. His ADP is going to continue to rise at this point. I wouldn't be shocked if by this time next week, he's up another 15, 20 spots. But, so that's a couple of pitchers in the same range we've touched on here with Hunter Green, Michael King, Bailey Ober. We talked about Chris Sale a little bit. Just going off of the ADP board of some interesting other names I feel like we could talk about here. Does are you guys, there's a few injured pitchers here, but one that I have kind of found that I feel like I want to take a chance on is Shane Bieber. Do you guys feel like, and you know, you watch his workout videos, either Driveline or wherever he went this offseason, he regained a little bit of his velocity. Now he's back up to 93, 94. And I'll have to find the tweet, but it pretty much said when his fastball was touching that, these were his numbers. And it was obviously like the 2-something ERA, the 10 strikeouts per 9. And then when his fastball velocity is under that, it's when he gets lit up. Does any part of that give you hope that we could see maybe not Cy Young Shane Bieber, but we could see a top 20 starting pitcher in Shane Bieber this year?
I have Bieber on half of, I've drafted 8 teams. I have him on 4, including Glarf and I think and TGFBI. And when I actually drafted him in TGFBI, Yancey immediately messaged me and was like, I knew I should have, my heart sunk when you took Bieber, because I was thinking between him and Rodon, and I took Rodon. And so it's always good to get that like instantly, like, damn it, I knew I should have drafted him. It is the best. Shout out to Yancey. But I'm all in on Bieber. I've gotten him late, even later than where his ADP is now. I think you can get a 3.8 ERA. I think around a 26% K percentage, which is higher than, not as high as when he was a Cy Young and not as low as he's been the last few years. But I think if he can keep that velocity that he has, I think he's somewhere around there. I like his floor for innings. I think he has a health grade of like a C health grade, like an average health grade. I think it's better than that. I think he can get you the 180 innings with the 3.8 ERA, which now like the average ERA for a starting pitcher is like 4. So 3.8 is pretty good. I don't think there's tons of upside. I don't think he could be like a top 25 pitcher. I don't, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe top 30, top 40. At a ceiling, but I love where he's going, and he's a very good floor play. If you've taken the Cole Reagans, or if you've taken Yamamoto, and if you want a tried and true, you know, pitcher, I think at that point he's a good option for you.
Yeah, I echo everything you said about Shane Bieber, and again, we're not expecting Cy Young Shane Bieber, but I think what we saw last season also isn't the real Shane Bieber either. If he can get that velocity back, which will be the big thing for him, which is something I think we're all going to be watching when he does make starts. If he does make some in spring training, that will be something we'll keep an eye on there. Does it look blurry for you guys? Cause, our buddy Manuel in the chat says it's a little blurry. Is it him, or do you guys see it blurry too?
It's clear to me.
Clear as, I don't know, clear as something. As our guy is Murph, who hasn't been here in a while. Good to see you as well, my friend. He said he could possibly be the 3 or 4 on that staff, and it's worth a shot in fantasy on him. I think he is 100% behind the Shane Bieber train on that one as well. And our guy Forrest in the chat is always... Forrest, I love you, man. I would love to go through all your comments, but you are the freaking man. I love reading your stuff. Let's talk about another pitcher going... Basically, we're kind of talking about all pitchers tonight, going after pick 30 and going to about pick 75 in terms of pitchers. So this is a wide range of pitchers. Kind of, this is where you can kind of make or break your draft in terms of starting pitching. If you believe in some of these guys, you can get them pretty much wherever you want, because ADP won't play a factor in you being able to go get your guys here. And Marty, another pitcher I saw you like that we haven't talked about here is Aaron Civale, friend of the show, Aaron Civale, who went over to Tampa Bay last year and completely looked like he changed some things up there. Obviously, the Rays have a way of working with pitchers, but you think Aaron Civale's ADP might be too low right now?
I think it's exactly where it needs to be for him. And talking about a stabilizer, man, like, he's the guy that's going to come in and lower your WHIP for 160 innings, you know, if he stays healthy. And there's not that many guys at that point in the draft where you can say, you know, he should be, you know, around a 4 ERA, which isn't great, but a low WHIP. And talking about like Hunter Green, where he hasn't learned how to pitch, Aaron Civale's learned how to pitch. I mean, his stuff isn't that great, but he knows how to locate it. He locates it great. He was a, you know, top 50 pitcher last year. He was the 50th starting pitcher. So another floor play for me. Like, if I've gone high upside, if I went Hunter Green before him, I'm going to get Civale to kind of offset that. And I think where he's going, I think it's fair. I don't think it's too high or too low. I think that's where he should be going.
Yeah, right now, Aaron Civale ADP of 207. So that's pretty good value on him going after pick 200. Elsie, there's some more interesting names on this list. If there's one or two names kind of that I know you can look at the Google Doc that are kind of in this range of pitchers that you think are values, please share for the good of the class.
Well, one name that I want to talk about is Jordan Montgomery. I think it's interesting. I think the fact that he hasn't signed has made his ADP fall and given a little bit more hesitation to people trying to draft him. Do you guys think that this is an opportunity to buy? Or do you buy into the fact that him not being signed is bad for his season?
I don't want to speak for Marty. I am worried a little bit because of the, and there was someone that put this out, that the later you sign, that more the longer it's going to take for you to ramp up because you're not getting these valuable repetitions with teams right now. And that could lead to a bigger chance of injury or just ineffectiveness to start the season. Maybe like where you've seen like, okay, their quote unquote, their spring training is starting now because they didn't get a full spring training. So you have to endure some rough starts to start the year. And maybe again, that leads to more injury. That to me is why I feel like his ADP is falling more than anything. And I do genuinely agree with that type of the way that the market's been on that. Just for the past reasons, we've seen it happen with pitcher time after time.
Yeah, and Montgomery, for me, I think that's exactly right. I mean, there's going to be, because when you look at his projections, we're looking at his innings pitched, right? So Steamer has him for 183, ATC for 167, and the bat for 156. We're talking about projected innings for Jordan Montgomery. We have to take 10, 15 innings off that at this point, right? So that's what we're losing. I think that's what you're seeing with ADP. I think it's falling properly because he will need that time to ramp up. Now, luckily, he's been in the league for forever. He's 30 years old. He knows his body. For all we know, he's working his ass off, you know, and he's maybe going to be ready to go five innings right out of the gate. We don't know. The not knowing is the scariest part. And that's why he's falling on top of the fact that he will lose a few innings, and we have to bake that into his projection. I don't have him anywhere. I'm not against it, but I think there's a lot of people, you know, and this is looking at the auction calculator, ATC. He's an $11 player. He's around Yuri Perez, Chris Sale, Merrill Kelly, and Bailey Ober. I would definitely rather have Yuri Perez. I think it's safer. Kelly's safer. I think Ober safer. And there's a lot more upside with Chris Sale. So those are the guys going around him. I'd rather have, or those are the guys kind of projected with his same value around him. I'd rather have all of those guys.
Yeah, he doesn't feel as safe to me now, especially with the late signing. I did also want to mention I'm a big fan of Nick Pivetta coming into this season.
He's a popular breakout this year.
Yeah, I think we should talk about him and as like a potential strikeout buoy to your staff. Sort of what you were talking about, what you did with your TGFBI, David, trying to draft strikeout guys. Pivetta actually added some pitches to his arsenal in the middle of last season and produced elite results towards the second half. I like him as a breakout this season. He's going at a nice price for a breakout as well. I could see him really rising up, given a chance to start all season, and could be a 200 strikeout pitcher. I really like Pivetta this year. Where's A. Brown?
He is going, I'm pulling it up right now, right around 174.
Yeah, I think that's a nice range for him because you look at him, he's going near Keller, Gavin Williams, Hunter Brown, Christian Javier. That's a good range of pitchers right there where you could say, which direction do you want to go on potential here? Pivetta, I think, is a little bit more polished. I think I believe in what he did over the second half of last season because of the effectiveness of his new sweeper that he brought in. So I think that the strikeouts are going to be there. If he can keep the whip down what he did over the second half of last season, he could be a top 30 starting pitcher pretty easily with all the Ks that he gets.
And the fact that you also have the injury to Lucas Giolito, who's going to probably miss the entire season, that opens up a spot in that rotation that's already super thin. They have talked about having Tanner Houck and Garrett Whitlock both being in there right now. Why would you not have Nick Pivetta in there at this point with what he proved at the end of last year? So, and you'll probably get that SPRP eligibility as well. So if you're in a, you know, a points league, you can exploit that RP eligibility and stick him in one of those slots too as a SPARP. So I think Nick Pivetta is a great value here. And yet, like you said, Elsie, the changes seem to be real, that adding that sweeper in there. Is he going to have blow up starts? I'm sure he is. Like, I don't think he's going to be immune to that, but will he give you high strikeouts and have some outings that will win you weeks in points leagues, and that will be a boom for your strikeouts in Roto? For sure. I just think you have to be honest with yourself and know that those three-inning, eight-earned-runs outings are definitely still plausible for him every once in a while, and to expect that that could happen.
It's a tough ballpark. I mean, Red Sox, I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's one of the hardest ballparks to pitch in, so that's against them. But what I'm hearing, some people are worried about his innings. I mean, he pitched 179 innings in 2022, so he can hit that 180, 190 mark. And to Art's point, if he hits 190 innings, he could hit 200 Ks. It's possible.
Yep. I don't mean for this entire episode to be Cleveland Guardians based. How do you guys feel about Gavin Williams, who Eric Cross recently said on Twitter that he thinks he's going to be a top 20 starting pitcher this season? Just had his first outing of the spring, two innings, no hits, no earned runs, a walk and four strikeouts. Someone that was a top 20 prospect in baseball before he came up last year, was one of the top 5 to 10 pitching prospects in all of baseball. He has really good strikeout stuff if you look at it in the minor leagues and his profile. Was one of my favorite pitchers in the minors, and he seemed to lock down a spot the way he finished the end of last season. Just looking across the board at his profile, 3.29 ERA, 23.5% K rate. I think that's where he's going to have the biggest boom in his profile, is he's going to be a bigger strikeout pitcher this year, evidenced by a 13.2 swinging strike rate, which is above average. And again, like, I feel like he has not tapped into that potential yet. He will have to decrease his walks. 10.7 walk percentage is not going to get it done. But he suppressed hard contact, averaged 0.88 home runs per nine. I think there's another gear for Gavin Williams and this entire Guardian staff. I think these are all guys that you're getting at pretty good prices for a team that's developed pitching for the last decade plus. And I think Gavin Williams should also be considered in that profile.
Yeah, the one thing I'm going to need to see from him is a third pitch, because his four seems great and his slider's good. It's a good slider, but the curveball or some, I don't know, he needs to have a third pitch, I think, to take that next step, because his stuff overall is, you know, it's below average. So he has great he's a really good with location. So he's going to need that third pitch to take that next step. So that's something that we can look for during spring training. I think over these next few weeks, if we can see if he's mixing that in, and especially if can we get Statcast in every stadium here? Why is professional baseball a junior varsity? It doesn't make any sense. So it's a $1 billion league, and you can't even see your team. They just don't have cameras there. I don't know. It's wild. So keep an eye out for Gavin Williams. If he gets a third pitch, yeah, I mean, Cleveland knows how to develop pitching, and that's a good ballpark to be in.
I think Bybee's just a little bit more polished, which is why I go for him over Gavin Williams. But I think Gavin Williams has the higher ceiling out of the two.
Agreed.
Yeah. And it could be this season. I think Williams has an electric arm. He's got he's got more velo on that fastball. And he could definitely lean on those breaking pitches even more. He barely, like Marty said, he didn't throw the curveball all that much last season, and it produced pretty good results when he threw it. But if he wanted to ramp up those breaking pitches, I think he really could ramp up those strikeouts, which really did decrease from his minor league numbers, like you said, David.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like he doesn't trust the curveball, because like you said, he got good results from it, but yeah, he just doesn't, he's not feeling it yet. So let's see if, you know, it's something he steps into.
I agree. Let's bring up another pitcher, and Marty, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Bryce Miller, because I feel like we need to talk about Bryce Miller and we need to talk about Brian Wu, two Seattle Mariners pitchers that are going in this range.
And we talked about this last week, that I potentially could have my entire staff of fantasy baseball pitchers being the Seattle Mariners 1 through 4, if not their 1 through 5, because I absolutely love every guy in here. The guy has an amazing, first off, he has a great mustache. It doesn't really matter, but it's pretty cool. If you watch baseball, you appreciate that. The stuff's off the chart. He's great at locating. I think he's going to take that next step as a pitcher. He's constantly, mixing, his arsenal, and he's fine tuning it now. He's even at a different pitch. We talked about this last week as well. It's the Seattle hitting in Seattle is extremely difficult for hitters, and the most strikeouts happen in Seattle. So that, on top of that, the ball doesn't fly out there. The park's incredible. And I think he's taking that next step. So where he's at, he's my SP4 in 3 out of 8 drafts. So I got him.
I think he's very solid. I think they've talked about that fastball just having another gear, like as you mentioned, that that's going to be the difference. If you know he had the fastball is something that was setting him apart. He needed to have the secondary offerings, and it seems like he's been really working on that. Pitching Ninja's been in Mariners camp, and so he's been kind of talking with him and showing him things he's been working on, which has been pretty cool. Elsie, these back end Mariners pitchers, you know, Bryce Miller and Brian Wu, do you find yourself liking anybody in this rotation?
I like both of them. I think there's an unknown element with Miller and Wu, because the Mariners are known to introduce new pitches to their pitching staff. I know the splitter is one they introduced to Logan Gilbert's arsenal, and it helped him. And there has been talk that the splitter is being introduced to Miller. And there are some who think that Wu, who has a phenomenal fastball, would really benefit from the introduction of a solid splitter as well. So the unknown aspect that I have with them is, will there be a new pitch in their arsenal this season, which will give them a better out pitch against opposite hitted bats? I think Miller is a great option. His whip is really nice, and that's underrated. He got a 1.14 or 1.16 whip last season. I think he keeps that one whip. That's that low whip. I think Wu has a higher whip, but also could potentially have better strikeout stuff than Bryce Miller. I think Miller might be the better polished pitcher at this point. So if you want someone who I think is more certain to give you like a solid season, you go with Bryce. I think Wu has the strikeout stuff though to be a really solid strikeout pitcher, especially if he can add a new pitch.
All right, I want to ask you a question, because I love Wu. I loved him last year. I was the Wu guy, and how many innings do you think he's going to go? He went 87 innings last year. 130? Would that be like kind of, would they max him out at that? Right.
They slowed him down. I'm
worried about that.
Look at the projections, they're all in the 130s.
Okay.
Which I think is a safe projection. I wouldn't expect them to push him. Because he produced 87 in the majors, 44 at AA.
So in 2023?
Yeah. So that's.
So 120 altogether. Okay, good.
130. 130 last year. Yeah. So 130 is where we should baseline it, with a potential of 20% more is what. You know, you can not embarrass yourself saying 150 with him, but I honestly think because they slowed him down last year, I think they're going to treat him with kid gloves, and I would under 140.
Yeah, I would think that's a safe projection. Like, again, right now, the page that everybody's seeing, if you're watching on YouTube, I believe that's the Steamer projection, is what the NFBC uses for when it puts the projection on there. Projected for 4.17 ERA and 134 innings pitched.
I want to say it's Razzball's projections.
Is it Razzball's?
Yeah.
It's not Steamer. Yeah, Steamer has him at a 4.04, actually.
Yeah, it's Razzball.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for clearing that up. So Razzball projects him for 134 innings with a 4.17 ERA and 141 strikeouts. So it sounds pretty realistic for what I think we could expect from Brian Wu. But I think for someone that's giving you, you know, a little bit of above a 4 ERA and above a strikeout per 9 at this point in the draft, that's, you'll take that. As someone that's your fifth, like in my case in TGFBI, he's my fifth starter. So I'm okay with that there. There are some pitchers here I want to group together, and I want to hear your guys' thoughts. And this is the injury group. These are pitchers that are going in this range. I just want to hear your thoughts if you would draft them or if you're completely just keeping them off your board no matter how far they fall. I'm talking about Kodai Senga. I'm talking about Justin Verlander. I'm talking about Walker Buehler. Talking about, obviously, Giolito is untouchable at this point, so I'm not going to put him quite in this category. You could say Tristan McKenzie, who's working his way back. Nick Lodolo, who has still having problems with the stress reaction, stress fracture he had last season. He's still having problems with that, which is troublesome to say the least. Any of these names, are you okay drafting them? For me personally, Kodai Senga went, he went probably about 100 picks past ADP before he got taken in my draft. I don't think I'm drafting any of these players that I just listed, even no matter where they go. Do you guys have a different feeling of opinion on any of those guys?
I have a hard time completely dismissing Verlander. I know he's old. He's older. He still produced a 1.13 whip and a 3.6. Is that right? 3.6 ERA last season. I know his K's dropped. I think we're going to continue to see a deterioration in his K percentage, but I still think he's going to be solid. I do worry about the innings he's going to produce. And one person I did want to also bring up is I think Tristan McKenzie is healthy going into the season finally. So I have a few shares of him because I want to be in on McKenzie if he's healthy this year.
He was a guy I was in on last year, and then he got really hurt.
Yeah. He's looking healthy coming into this season. I did just look up at – I mean, let me find it. I did just look at his spring training updates earlier, and he's looking good in his spring training starts. 10 Ks in his – oh, no, that was last season. Sorry. But I think he pitched today for his first start. You know, he's healthy. You always worry about McKenzie's injury background. It probably has an F injury grade, but he's going at a price where like the upside is real, and he's not costing you a ton. And the fact that he's healthy now, if he gets injured in June, you got 50 to 70 innings of him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He went 2 innings today, allowed 1 hit, and he got 2 strikeouts. So,
another Cleveland Guardian we're bringing up tonight.
I completely agree with Art on Justin Verlander. I think that, he's 40 years old. He still has 3 plus pitches. I think the strikeouts, they're going to be whatever his innings are. If he throws 140 innings, I think he's going to have 135 strikeouts. You know, I think 130 strikeouts around there. If he's you'll need a lot of other pitchers around him who are going to be healthy. And he's kind of, it's weird to have a risky high floor guy because that kind of doesn't make sense, but he's kind of that guy.
A 3.22 ERA in 2023. Over, is that right? Did he have 162 innings last year?
No, that was the year before. Or was it? No, yeah.
Yeah.
It was
162. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't remember him having that many innings.
Yeah. He's still good. It's just, we don't know.
The strikeouts were down to 144.
Yeah. And he knows his body really well. So, it's just general. You know, a shoulder that's sore because he's ramping up pitching. I guess it's kind of to be expected, but I think that means they're going to pace him out throughout the year and hope he can hold on for October because the Astros, you know, they're playing for a championship as always.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like Justin Verlander, if we don't count Tristan McKenzie as hurt, Justin Verlander is the only one we're considering out of the group of pitchers I mentioned.
Yeah, because Nick Lodolo, he hasn't even ramped up yet, and I don't know what to expect from him from there. So I think if he's on your waiver wire, obviously someone to keep an eye on. Who are the couple of the other ones? Kodai Senga, you just can't.
Totally off the board, yeah.
You just can't draft him. It's not. Someone Walker Buehler? Drafted him. Buehler.
I don't know what this
If you have a team where you can put him, if you have a huge bench, right, and you can kind of just tuck him away, or if you have a lot of injury slots, then I think that's like in a home league. Yeah, why not? He'll, if you're in a head-to-head league and he might be able to come back the second half of the year and kind of help you out. But I don't think it's worth it.
I haven't. You have that tantalizing upside. He could bring you down the stretch, but like you said, you might have to sit on him for half a year. And that's the part
I don't know what his upside is, though, because of the shoulder injury that led, and this is the second Tommy John, right? Second Tommy John, and going in, and before he got injured, he wasn't doing that good. I mean, he was getting hit all over the place, probably because his arm was messed up. So it's hard to judge him from that. But two Tommy Johns, and we don't know how many innings he's going to go this year. I don't know what the upside would look like. Honestly, I don't.
Mm-hmm. It would be if he came in, I guess, halfway through the season to pitch to, I think realistically, you say maybe he pitches to like a 3 ERA with, again, like double digit strikeouts per nine.
That's is he really supposed to miss half the season? I thought he might only like a month.
I think they're not saying he's going to miss half the season, but I do know, knowing the Dodgers, I feel like you have to always underproject what they're actually saying. And that's why I'm in my head, I'm like, what's the safe estimation? It would probably be whether he stops, he doesn't go at the beginning of the year, then he goes a bunch in the middle, and then towards the end, they kind of taper off his workload so they can have him for the playoffs. Like, I think at the end of the day, you'll get about half a season's worth of production if I had to make a guess right now.
I'm just going to let you know that, I Twitter searched him and he sees what's being said about him.
Does he really?
Yeah, that's what he said. I see what's being said about me, and it's motivating him. So I don't know if that does anything for you, but he's motivated by your doubts, David.
I should tweet something out and see if he'll like it.
Well, let's say Buehler does go a half a season. So what's that, 90 innings, 80 innings maybe?
Yeah.
A high end? I mean, you could get A.J. Minter to do that. He can go 80 innings, get you more strikeouts, have a better whip, and a lower ERA. I mean,
that's
I don't see it. And that's free. And he's free. He's going to be absolutely free at the end of the 15-team, 30-round draft. So I don't know. I'm completely out on Buehler. I just don't see a reason to do it.
The two pitchers here, straying away from the injury pitchers, back-to-back, you have Hunter Brown and Christian Javier, two Houston Astro pitchers that had a lot of promise last year. Javier went a lot higher than Hunter Brown did, but both underperformed. And both, again, are kind of back-to-back in ADP. Do you guys have a lean for which Houston Astros pitcher you would rather take? I think I'm Christian Javier.
Okay.
I'm Hunter Brown, baby.
All right. Okay. So make your case, David. You go first, and then I want to hear Marty.
So I was reading an article that said Christian Javier lost 15 pounds this offseason and felt like that his mechanics were off because he had gained – he had gained the 15 pounds from his breakout season, and he felt like that was messing up his release point, his just overall mechanics, and that he said he feels a lot more like he did 2 years ago, just the way his body is moving. And I have obviously I've made wrong calls, I've made right calls, but one of the things I feel like has been most consistent with when I'm seeing a pitcher basically figure stuff out is when they're talking about they figure out things with their body. Vlad Guerrero, when he broke out after a few subpar seasons to start his career, it was when he lost all that weight and really it seems like he was making changes with his swing. Since he was lighter, the bat was moving quicker in his hands, he was getting his foot down quicker, all those timing things because he was lighter. And Christian Javier, some pitchers like CeCe Sabathia maybe are used to pitching at a bigger weight, but maybe those extra 15 pounds really did make a difference for him to be able to repeat what he did, where he became probably the biggest, one of the biggest breakout pitchers 2 years ago. And we did see flashes of it last year. It's not like Christian Javier, granted, he was a huge letdown based on where you drafted him, but we did see flashes. And I think that that can be a lot more consistent this year. Maybe he's not the 2022 Christian Javier, but maybe he's also better than what we saw last season. And I think this is a bigger bargain than you're going to get for Christian Javier. So I seeing that those tangible things like that make me more intrigued to draft him.
Yeah, he's in the best shape of his life, you'd say.
That's what I was going to say. I can't argue with the best shape of his life. Version,
but yes.
Marty, you like Hunter Brown still, even after all that David said?
Yeah, I think for Javier, I think he's a good – he has a higher floor, right? I think we're not worried about how many innings he's going to go and kind of what it's going to look like. But
do you not think he has a higher ceiling with the strikeout?
I think Hunter Brown has a much higher ceiling. His stuff's better. His location's better. Even though last year he had a 5.09 ERA, his xERA was 4.27, which isn't great. But, I mean, talk about – he's a ground ball pitcher to a T. And at this time, with his stuff and what he's mixing up, with his velo as high as it is, he averages 95.7. His ground ball rate is 52.2%. I mean, I think there's a lot more upside here. Last year, he pitched 155 innings. He had 178 strikeouts. So I think he's putting it together. He's still young. He's only 25 years old. Is he from Wayne State, like Detroit, Wayne State?
That's I have no idea.
If so,
well, that's why you picked him.
Yeah, I didn't even know it. He pitched 10 miles away from where I live. But no, I think Hunter Brown has a lot higher of an upside, and I think Christian Javier has a higher floor.
LC, you're the tiebreaker here.
I've stayed away from both of them this draft season. I would go with Brown because I'm disappointed over Javier's last season, and I would be less sure. I would be going for Brown because I would hope that he had figured something out. But generally, I stay away from these two. Javier scares me. Last season scared me with Javier. Pretty strong. Although I do understand that the fluctuations, it could just go right back to him being amazing again with those elite pitches. So now that I'm talking about it, I do know that Javier has the most elite pitch out of the two pitchers, as far as I know. He might have the best pitch. But he lost a lot of effectiveness on his slider last year. He was coming in at a different plane, and that might have been the weight. It's so hard. That's why I wanted you guys to talk about it.
I was say, you got to say Hunter Brown, man. I have him on 33% of my team. Third of my teams, I have Hunter Brown. I need him to do well. But no, I think that's it. I think there's a better, I don't know if, I think there's a higher floor with Javier. Christian Javier, I think, has a higher floor. I would feel more comfortable drafting him as like my SP6, where like Brown, I'm comfortable with him being potentially my 5, who could outperform to a 4. Like they're not even close to me. Brown's a lot higher in my ranks.
Really?
Yeah.
So Christian Javier did have his 2024 debut. I have to check what Hunter Brown already pitched. But Christian Javier in his first outing, 3 innings, no hits, 3 strikeouts.
It's good. Yeah, he's gonna be healthy,
baby. He's back. He might be.
I mean, he's looking light. He's looking slender. He's
lean, mean.
Lean.
I mean, he might be in my MySpace top 8 the more we're talking about it. I think he's going to be a MySpace top 8 guy.
Nick Pivetta was in mine last year, which is actually pretty cool after the year he had.
Hunter Brown has some pretty tasty projections that I had not
he's
noticed.
Good.
Yeah, his projection, Steamer has him at a 3.76 ERA with 9.53 Ks per 9 in over 150 innings. That's pretty good, as they'd say on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Pretty good.
And Javier,
you've been flip-flopping back and forth more than a politician.
He's a politician, baby. Last thing I'll say on Javier is that his fastball velocity has declined. over the last few years.
But did you? We didn't get a reading in his spring training outing, did we?
Probably not, because Major League Baseball sucks.
I want to see if I can find it, because I know some of them have the velocity.
Yeah, some of them do. But I guess we'll see. I don't know if we're going to talk about I want to quickly talk about Shoto Imanaga. I don't know if that was going to come up. He's kind of in that same range. I have him. I've been pushing him for – I think I drafted him three rounds ahead of his ADP, or maybe – yeah, I don't know. But the strikeouts are going to be great. I think he's going to be around a 28% strikeout percentage guy. But I am afraid of the ERA, because he has a home run problem. He gave up a home run in his first spring training outing. He did strike out five guys, so he looked pretty good there. But yeah, there's going to be a home run problem. So I think the ERA could be a potential problem if he doesn't adjust. So there is risk in that, but he's like, I like the idea that I think I'm going to get a lot of strikeouts from him.
Elsie, he's a Chicago Cub, so I'm sure you've had to dig into him some a little bit. What are your thoughts on him?
My initial thought on him was that he was not going to be that impressive in his first year. The more I've read about him, the more I realize that a lot of people who are really smart about pitching really like his pitches. So my biggest concern will be managing how the Cubs manage a pitcher who's used to pitching once a week in an American Major League Baseball system. So if the Cubs can figure out how to get him through 150 plus innings, I think he's going to be pretty effective. And like Marty said, there's going to be some blowups. I do think that he does have he's going to have to be more precise than he was, and he's not going to be able to do that 30 starts. So there's going to be six starts where he just gets whacked. And if you can miss those, you're going to get a really good pitcher.
Do you think that
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you think that these teams, like the Dodgers with Yamamoto, like the Cubs with Shogo, like, do you think that they stick to the once a week, or do you think they try to stretch him out a little bit to try to be two times a week?
For me, I was going to say Yamamoto, he's going to do what he wants to do. And I think Imanaga is going to do what the Cubs want him to do. That's just the feeling I get with how much money they paid him and how they and their feelings with Shohei. It's like they're running their own thing. So I could see them pushing up Imanaga if they have to. But Art, you would know this better than me. How does the starting rotation look? Like, do they need him
every fifth day? The Cubs have a stable of arms that they brought up last season. They have Hendricks, of course. They have Steele. They have Imanaga. But then they also have Jordan Wicks, who they brought up and did good things last season. They had Javier Assad, who they brought up and did good things last season to fill out their staff. And I'm missing a few of their guys. There's a few other guys in that depth chart who have starting experience that they brought up and pitched well for them last season.
Like Yency Almonte, Mark Leiter Jr. I mean, Drew Smyly, there's one where
Smiley's definitely in there. Definitely someone who's gonna and Taillon, I forgot even to mention Jameson Taillon, who they signed.
Yeah, he's their number
deal.
Two.
Yeah. So I think that they have a good amount of depth in their system right now. They've been doing a good job to build it up. I'd like for them to sign. I wouldn't mind if they were the ones who ended up getting Jordan Montgomery off the market.
Jordan Montgomery?
Yeah, a little Jormon action over in Chicago. But but I think they
have to spend.
I do think that they have the bodies to give him an extra day when he needs it, for sure. They have, like, I think that they have plenty of four and five starters, like Wicks and Assad and Leiter Jr., who you mentioned. Those guys, they're solid MLB pitchers. And so I think that they have a good chance to let him work every 6 days if that's the best thing for him.
All right, I'm putting you on the spot right now. How many innings will Shota Imanaga pitch in 2024?
I'm going to go 155.
Ooh, that'd be amazing. That's 100. Yeah. That's 170 strikeouts, baby.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Marty, do you have what Christian Javier's fastball was last season?
In what sense?
What his average miles per hour was on it?
I do not know.
You said his fastball velocity has dropped each of the last few seasons, right?
It has as he goes through the season.
Okay.
Right? So he progresses further into the season, it declines. But yeah, it starts off great.
It said his fastball in the start range from 92 to 94 miles per hour, and that they were talking. This is an article from the Houston Chronicle, and he was talking about his mechanics and said that he was trying to throw too hard too early in his delivery and basically caused him yanking out and cutting the ball instead of naturally throwing it and trusting his delivery and his mechanics.
Yeah, I mean, he has great ride on his fastball. So even though it is only maybe 92, 93, the way he pitches it is great. But yeah, if he was, you know, if he was overweight and that was messing everything up, I guess we'll see if slimming down, you know, helps out. This will be an interesting one. I don't know. Yeah. Anytime a guy just gets out of shape because he just got out of shape, it's just like, what am I going to do with that? Like, how did you get out of shape? Like, I don't know. Whatever.
I know, right? This is interesting. The Hunter Brown versus Christian Javier debate, that will be one that sticks into the season here. I think we should start wrapping up. If there is a pitcher you guys would each like to bring up, I think we covered a lot of pitchers tonight. So if there is one more pitcher in this range that you guys feel like we need to make sure we talk about, I'm going to give you guys the floor.
I'll go quickly. I have two. Yusei Kikuchi. And yes, 2 years ago, I was very against Yusei Kikuchi. In my Fantrax articles everywhere, I wouldn't touch him. A mid-threes XERA last year. He decreased his walk percentage. That's the biggest thing. He was walking 10-11% of players. I think he got it down around 6, and the strikeout percentage was always there. So he's getting the most out of his arsenal at this point, and I have him in way too many spots, so I'm fully in on him. And then Seth Lugo as my last pitcher, because it's a nice and safe Seth Lugo. I think he'll be low, you know, round 4 ERA, a decent whip. I like days in Kansas City. Not a sexy pick, but a high floor guy late in your drafts when you want to find somebody steady. And where Seth Lugo's going, there's not a lot of steadiness there.
LC, any pitchers that you feel like we need to bring up?
I'm gonna go quick. I want to mention Yu Darvish. I think Yu Darvish is a real good shot to come back this season. His velocity is looking good in the spring. And I think he was pitching a little bit hurt last season, and I think he'll come back, get a little bit of an off-season surgery, and I think he'll come back and be very good. Brandon Pfaadt, if you look at what he did towards the end of the season, his K to walk got immensely better from what it started out. And then, of course, he had that great playoff run. I was ready to say Pfaadt is being dreamed upon a little too much, and then I looked a little deeper into it, and I think there's a lot to like in Brandon Pfaadt and what he's doing this year. I think he's at a good place, and he has a strong arm. He's thrown a lot of innings. I think he has a solid ability to go 150 plus and probably more. I want to also mention before we get out of here, I like the Kikuchi call. I like Sanchez as an upside play.
Christopher Sanchez?
Yes. Sanchez as an upside play. He's getting a lot of love from a lot of smart people right now. I think if we went through this whole range and we did not bring up that we thought Sanchez was a good buy, we would be a little bit derelict in our duties right now because everyone's talking about him. I like him. You guys like Sanchez too? Are you guys as in on him as everybody else is?
Yeah, I like Christopher Sanchez.
I don't have him anywhere because I feel like he's going – each time I do a draft, he goes a little bit sooner because his stuff is excellent. He knows how to locate the ball. I think he's coming into his own. He could be one of those guys that's, you know, top 30, top 40 pitcher, you know, at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. It's possible with his stuff. I don't know if he can do it, But yeah, I'm fully in on it. I just can't. People get him before I can get him.
Exactly. I he had a little bit of, because he was so new and he came out mid-season, there was like doubts in my mind about him because he just came up and he was like, who's this guy? He seems to be pitching well. And he had a lull or two where it was like, oh, maybe he's not that good. But then you look what he produced at the end of the season, you were like, actually, he was on the whole very good. I think where he's going, that's a nice range for him. And of course, Philadelphia's a good team. The other thing I want to bring up in this range we talked about, there's a lot of nice stable arms. I really like Merrill Kelly. We didn't talk about him. I like Jose Berrios. I think
you like every pitcher.
I don't. There's a lot I don't like.
I'm just kidding.
But Berrios and Kelly, I think, are really solid arms. And down towards the end, I think there's a decent shot that Marcus Stroman's good this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Nestor Cortez, everything's looking a lot better than it did last year. Is he, if he's fully healthy, I mean, he looks pretty good. He's going up like Sale, not like that high, but like that big of a leap each time. Cause he was going in late 200s, I think, in February, or January. Now Nestor Cortez is flying up the board. And, but yeah, I want to shout him out there because I think he's going to be, I'm expecting more from Cortez than I thought, especially a few months back.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap us up here tonight. Appreciate all you guys watching. I think this is actually the most viewers we've ever had for a show, looking at the numbers that are popping in on screen. So really appreciate you guys all tuning in with us for draft season. We really do appreciate you guys sticking around here. And we're here every single week covering position previews and obviously during the regular season, helping you with your fantasy teams. If you guys are enjoying the content, please make sure you guys like the video. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're not already. Again, fantasy baseball content all season long. And we're happy to give you anything that you need to help you win your leagues. That's going to wrap us up.
I have a shameless plug. We are going to be, because I like winning things, we're going to be in the fantasy baseball tournament yet again, the Bracket Challenge. So all of you 225 people, if you could just go to Twitter tomorrow, like us, or pick us over. I don't know who our – do we know who we're going against?
That's anybody a good question. Know? I should have that up.
It doesn't matter, yeah. Thank you for tuning all in. But if you could do that, hop on Twitter, let us go to the next round here. We'd appreciate it.
That would be pretty sick. It's a ton of great fantasy baseball podcasts out there. We luckily are getting the fourth seed in our bracket. So we would like to hopefully try to at least make the Sweet 16 to hold true to our seed. But we, of course, just a blessing to be included in that each and every single year. Yep. We also on the podcast side. So if you like podcasts better, you can also check us out anywhere you get your podcasts. But a little cheesecake from Marty Party. I'm D. Mendy. We're going to make like a bread truck and we're going to haul these buns. Talk to you guys next week.